The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Giving a voice to the voiceless, pulling stories out of the shadows and putting them under the spotlight, making sure that each person is valued and cared for. This is Humanity First with Peter Evers, presented by BAMSI.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Humanity First. My name is Peter Evers, and I work for BAMSI, which is a human service agency in and around Brockton. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's on a lot of people's minds, and that is the issue of new Americans, new arrivals coming into this country. And I guess I would start by saying, why is it that there is so much negativity about people coming into this country? It's a bit strange when you consider that this entire country was built on people coming from other places, people coming from other places to start a new life, whether it be economically, or whether it be running away, seeking justice where that justice had been denied in other countries. It is a strange thing that certain political forces are making this a negative issue. And it is putting a strain at the same time on our community resources. But in my opinion, we're not asking the right questions about why people are coming here. And we might be asking a question about what is it that we can do as the strongest economic nation on the planet to assist other countries with their economic instability so that people don't come in the first place. But when they do come, we are welcoming, we are compassionate, and we believe in justice for all, whether it be in the healthcare system, education system, or wherever that might be. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have a guest from Brockton Neighborhood Health Center, Maria Celi, who is the deputy CEO. And we're going to talk about that. Maria is an immigrant coming from Venezuela. And I am as well, coming from Great Britain. We're just going to talk about that and say, what can we do as a community to become more of a welcoming place for families who are arriving by the day? We'll be back in a second. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm an essential worker here at BAMSI, and I'm a nurse. Nurses are essential here at BAMSI because as nurses, we really have the opportunity to make an impact. We have very small ratios, so we have the opportunity to really learn everything about the person served and be able to give the best care. It really serves such a great purpose for me as being a nurse and really why I came into nursing. Learn more about nursing opportunities at BAMSIjobs.org.
Giving a voice to the voiceless, pulling stories out of the shadows and putting them under the spotlight, making sure that each person is valued and cared for. This is Humanity First with Peter Evers, presented by BAMSI.
Welcome back, everybody, to Humanity First. And as promised in the first segment, we have Maria Celi with us, who is the deputy CEO of Brockton Neighborhood Health Plan. Health Center. I've been working with insurance companies.
Definitely not Neighborhood Health Plan. No.
No, but definitely yes, Health Center.
Definitely a health center, yes.
Well, first of all, Maria, thank you so much for coming on the show, Humanity First. As you know, we talk about things that are topical, and we both thought it would be topical to talk a little bit about new Americans and people's journey into this country, which doesn't begin last week, right? This is when you think about it, there are very few people in this country, and those folks have also suffered great trauma, who actually are native to this country. So I'm always really interested about how new Americans are portrayed. We've had governments over the past few years who have gone out of their way to establish a tension between those people living here and those people coming here. And it really has in some ways been pretty disgusting, if you ask me, in terms of how that is laid out, of how that situation is laid out. And you and I actually are not native born Americans. I am What am I? Am I a first generation European? I think that's right. and, you know, I was wondering if we could start this conversation about personal journeys. You know, when you think about what it's like to come to another country, there are actually not many people in the world who are born in one country and come to another. It's, you know, it's actually that it's not really the typical thing for people to do. Most people are born in the country of their origin. They live and they die there. So there is something a little different about people who make a decision, whether it's a decision that they're running away from or something that they're running to come to another country. How was it for you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on this. And it's always such a pleasure to speak with you, Peter, and anybody on your team. Yes, this is a topic of tremendous passion for me professionally and personally, which is part of the reason why I love my job, because, you know, what I guess my personal, some of my personal mission and some, and many of my personal values align so much with the mission of the work that I do. Myself as an immigrant, I did not choose to come to this country. My parents brought me here. And at the time, they were certainly, and that was a fraught decision on their part as well. It was not an easy decision to come to, and there was division between the two of them about what was the best course of action for myself and my siblings. It's not easy, you know. I think something that can be often maybe forgotten, or maybe not actively considered as much as it could be from those of us at this point, because I'm comfortably here in the United States. But when you're living in a country, to think about just how hard it is, you know, how painful it can feel to leave a comfort zone, so to speak. Even if you're migrating comfortably, if you're migrating in a privileged way, in a safer way, if you're migrating to opportunity, you know, all these things that sound so positive, but yet you're leaving behind everything you know. You're leaving behind a comfort zone, a place where people know you, they know your name, you speak their language, you understand how to get around something as basic as asking for directions or knowing where to purchase your food. You know, all of a sudden you're transplanted into this other place and you don't know how to, oftentimes if you don't speak the language, you don't know how to access the most basic needs. And it's logistically very challenging. It's mentally very challenging. It's spiritually challenging, because it's like your essence as a human comes from being connected to others who you care about and who care about you. And you've lost that. You're like a spider without its web. You are, you know, aimless in space. And yet you have to try to stay grounded. And that is when it's done in a way that's safe and relatively privileged. That's let right. alone with a lot of the trauma that I think, you know, a lot of migrants experience.
You know, I'm also struck by the fact that people who, we had this conversation the other day, so at BAMSI, our organization, a significant number of people that work in our direct care positions, which are lowest paying positions, and they should be much higher, by the way, and that's another conversation we've had on a number of occasions. But many of those people come from the continent of Africa. Many of those people come from Haiti, and they come from Cape Verde, and they are coming with a set of skills already. You know, many of those folks who come from Africa, we had this conversation the other day, are accountants oftentimes. You know, they might be in some other profession and they haven't been able to get equivalents for those things. And so they're working in jobs that they don't understand, and they're leaving a culture where they've had certain status, and then they have to start all over again. And I was talking to George, who is from Kenya, the other day, and he said, you know, it's that otherness that I feel every day. That really rang a bell with even me, you know, because mm-hmm. I, you know, as somebody who grew up in England, everybody spoke like me, everybody liked soccer, you know, come to another country and nobody likes soccer, but you know, there is, there is a real loss that is felt across that divide, right? Then, and let's get into this, because, you know, Brockton Neighborhood Health Center is an absolute beacon for people who are arriving in this country, who have to recalibrate, if you like, to a new life, make sure that they're getting the healthcare that they want in a very complicated system. I mean, you know, if you have a PhD, a healthcare system is ridiculously difficult to understand. How do you try and bridge that gap? How do you try and make people feel welcome when there's this entire environment of negativity that is, like I said before, generated by people who have perhaps a secondary agenda?
Yeah. You know, what comes to mind is a phrase that I, from time to time, will share with our staff and that I like to remember myself, which is at the speed of trust. You know, how do we do our work? It's at the speed of trust. And what is, you know, how can we accomplish supporting new arrivals in navigating an extraordinarily challenging, complicated healthcare system is through connection, through trust, and in an individualized fashion. So, you know, we have to go through the exercise of re-examining our own systems to ensure that we are trying to really cultivate a feedback culture so that the people we serve give us information about, you know, you think that you have created a system that has a careful, warm handoff from one piece of it to another. It's still feeling clunky to us. You've got to work a little bit better at that. And so we really are constantly trying to take that in and continue to readjust. Warm handoff, you know, which I think for anybody who works in healthcare, they understand what that concept is. But if we can just think about what it actually means, it's going from one hand to another hand and sort of like, it's not just, you know, go here, go there, and pointing a finger and giving a piece of paper, but it's like, how do we stay together? How do I stay with you shoulder to shoulder until you get to that next, you know, so you have access to health insurance. Now we're going to help to work together to get you to a primary care appointment. Right. And then this is where you're going to show up for that primary care appointment. And you can sit here, you know, it's really piecemeal and offered ideally in languages that are preferred, you know, that are the languages that are spoken by those we serve. And then constantly regrounding ourselves in humanity and humility. Because every human being who walks through our doors and that we have the privilege to work with has to be treated with dignity. At the end of the day, we're all humans, and we could be, and we like to try to remember this ourselves too, is that we have been, many of us have been, the immigrant who didn't speak the language and didn't know where to, you know, how to navigate, again, the most basic things, let alone this Gordian knot of a healthcare system.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, so it's, and we could be that again.
Yeah.
And
I love the idea of beginning with compassion, of this sort of beginning with dignity and respect. It's a shame that you have to actually make that statement. But it's also an interesting thing of like, what is dignity and what is respect from people from different cultures? How do we understand that? What is our cultural competence as we welcome new people into our community? And I think that's the question, right? What is our community doing to ensure that we have that cultural competence? I remember when I was working up in Concord in New Hampshire, which this was very stark, because we had a large Bhutanese population come into Concord, which is a very homogeneous, less so nowadays, but when I was there, very homogeneous sort of culture. And it was really interesting because the Federally Qualified Health Center just went right into that community, which really was quite private and really was like, well, this is us, you know. They went in and they hired people to work on their front desk. And those people then they paid for to go into training so that gradually they were putting people in as staff members who actually spoke the language and looked like, and again, the speed of trust. That speed of trust suddenly became a lot quicker because it wasn't just about saying, yes, we're accepting. We're actually actively changing to reflect the communities. And our communities change all the time. It doesn't really matter where you are in America. They're changing all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's foundational to how we operate at BNHC, Brockton Neighborhood Health Center. Many of our staff, if not most of our staff, are representative of who we serve. And then when we realize that we continue to try to evolve our staffing to reflect the community. And I think, you know, we foundationally also believe that diversity of ethnicity, language, race, sexual orientation, gender identity, other ways that one can identify oneself, life experiences, that is absolutely essential to being the best system that we can be, just to make the best choices. I mean, just practically speaking, developing process improvement, quality improvement, delivery of care, basically any decision we make, that diversity of thought makes those decisions stronger. And I mean, this is borne out in literature for organizational psychology. This is basic science, social science. So it's no surprise that continues to be true in the work that we do. And so we see it really as an advantage and as a strength for us. And frankly, also really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it absolutely is, because when you know you're meeting the needs of everybody in your community and you know that you've done what you can and you can always do more, and you're continually having those conversations, I suppose that is expected from healthcare providers. You don't always get it from healthcare providers or human service providers. Just sort of wrapping this section up, what is our responsibility to educate our community around the issues of diversity, of equity, and social justice and access? Do you see that we have a role there in this particular community?
Yes, we have a role there, I think, in this community to continue to promote listening and really cultivate listening of one another. Yeah. And creating spaces, I think, about Brockton Neighborhood, not only as a healthcare delivery system, but also as an agent for community organizing and convening. I mean, literally sometimes offering spaces, also collaborating with partners like BAMSI or, you know, some of the other amazing community-based organizations that we partner with, so we can continue to listen to each other, but then also expand to other domains or other, you know, I think in human services and healthcare, we don't want to create an echo chamber of our own ideals, but really spread that to other domains of our community. And I think that it is important for us to continue to be engaged that way. Yeah. In community meetings, and be the change that we want to see. So while we're also encouraging and promoting listening and cultural humility, we also want to be the listeners. And, you know, it was interesting yesterday, BNHC spent a day doing strategic planning. Now, this is like some of the, you know, this is a lot of the leaders of the organization who are super committed to our mission. but we participated. We purposefully designed a simulation activity to simulate being new arrivals, new migrants, or homeless folks. Okay, so we like simulated this, designed this whole simulation with forms that were written in like, you know, nonsense, yeah, like gibberish. Yeah. But you had to complete a certain number of tasks in order to get to this next thing you needed to do. And so we were simulating the healthcare system. And for 30 minutes, we had our staff and our board members engage in that activity. And, you know, what seems like everybody knows the prefrontal cortex knows what needs to be done, but when you feel it, it's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and we thought to ourselves, like, I mean, it was a great way to identify gaps, but is also really an important learning experience, and one that, I don't know, we were thinking it would be kind of great to share this with other community partners in the city so that we can all remember. Again, it really brings us back down to our humanness and what ties us together.
I totally love that idea, because I think what's missing often is a deep thought process about what it's like to be different from who we are. And that is absolutely wonderful. And I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about that. Maria, we are out of time. Believe it or not, it just seems like we started 2 minutes ago, but actually it was 18 minutes ago. So thank you so much for coming on again at short notice. And hopefully you'll come back and we can continue this conversation as we face, you know, some of the issues that we know are coming down the pike in terms of being able to provide services for as many people as we can in this wonderful city of Brockton. Thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Peter.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.